Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're one to follow the lectionary or a three-year reading cycle of Scripture, then you'll know that the chapter that we have from Luke today is not actually the assigned passage. It is a passage that we pulled out in order to highlight our stewardship campaign this year. If you haven't had a chance to see the middle bulletin board out there in the courtyard, please do take a look at it. Be not afraid is our theme. We're laughing over there in the choir, I'm not sure. Are you afraid over choir? We can help you. No. Be not afraid. And so we're pulling out this passage from the 12th chapter of Luke where Jesus talks to his disciples and says, don't worry about what you will wear, what you will eat, all those things not to be worried about. The lilies of the field never even worry. And I just laughed this morning at the early service. I said, it's a little unfair that I had to preach, be not afraid, on a Sunday that you were voting on whether you're going to keep me or not. But hey.
I thought it was just fine.
But here we are, right? So in preparation for today, I started imagining this passage and how it would be received by a variety of people. And I did a little experiment in my head, and I want you to experiment with me. So I said to myself, what if we read the gospel appointed for today that we pulled out for a group of friends who all have jobs, they have places to stay, they have automobiles, they have accounts and possibly money in their accounts for vacations, they're living rather comfortably. And I wondered, what would their reaction be to the passage that we read from that 12th chapter of Luke? And then I thought, well, heck, we can just probably picture ourselves hearing that passage. Then I thought, how about another group of people? So in your imagination, read the gospel to a group of people, thousands of people in India who have been displaced this week after the typhoon. Or perhaps read this passage to families who have uprooted themselves in search for something better. They cross the Mediterranean waters only to be shipwrecked and struggling and fighting for their lives. Or perhaps read it to the thousands and thousands of Americans every day who are fighting to have enough food on their plates for their families. So this message from that 12th chapter of Luke, where Jesus says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear, because God will take care of you, might be heard by the well-off audience, that first group of people, as sort of an admonishment to keep focused on the things that matter rather than our material wants like clothes and such. But then that second group, that really actually larger group, the majority of people on this planet who fight every day for the basics of life might hear it differently. Because if you have struggled for the last year or longer worrying every minute about feeding yourself and your children and giving them shelter at night and possibly shoes on their feet, I don't think that this message from Jesus is easy to hear. What does he mean, don't worry? I worry all the time, so many people say. In this passage for today, Jesus is not saying that the basic necessities of life don't matter. Nor is he saying that these necessities will sort of magically appear if we do things and believe in God perfectly and rightly. But he is already talking to people who I think probably had enough, it seems. Otherwise, I think this encouragement to his disciples to not worry would simply be cruel and really empty. But what about those who truly don't have enough? How can they hear good news in this passage? I think though the message is going to be perceived differently to those who have enough and those who don't, I think that really the message is still the same. Don't spend your time and your energy and your heart fretting about stuff. If you have enough, be thankful. Be aware of making idols out of what you want rather than merely what you need. But if you don't have enough, know that it's not because God doesn't love you. I think that Jesus is working to sort of disconnect that link that's commonly made in his time and in our time. That link that says those who please God have plenty, those who displease God will suffer. If it were only that easy, right? Of course, there are those in our culture today who spout off every time a natural disaster or act of violence happens, claiming that they know exactly the specific sin that was being punished. It would simplify matters. I think it would make it easy for us to be able to draw that straight line between the list of to-dos and don'ts and the corresponding benefits or punishments. For example, say, if you steal, there will be a tornado. Just know. Right? Wouldn't it be easy? And the strength of the tornado would be determined by the dollar amount of what it is that you stole. Or perhaps if you cheat on your taxes, wham, a big sinkhole in the middle of your backyard will come and take your house away. Wouldn't it be really easy and straightforward and black and white? It seems that Jesus is encouraging his followers to look beyond this sort of straight line thinking that attaches virtue to success and vice to failure. He's making a claim that God's desire for us is that we do have enough, that we not lack for the needs that we have. Rather than using some complex mathematics to determine precisely how blessed or cursed we will be, Jesus also said, no one can serve two masters. I think we've got to decide what our priorities and our values are. And if we're going to follow Jesus, then those priorities and values are probably not best focused on ourselves. Jesus is saying, look beyond the boundaries of yourself. See the possibilities with God that are limitless and not of this world. So in this light, I think situations or places that are recovering from disaster or people in the extremes of poverty, they don't see it magically getting better. Nor does the person in desperate circumstances automatically hear this as probably good news. But I do think it sounds like encouragement to not let dire straits reduce us all to sort of complete selfishness. And it gives us the promise of a greater God who can do so much more and is so much more than we're ever able to comprehend. So I think if we're sitting at the top of the comfort scale, we aren't to be worried about getting more. Instead, we're supposed to be concerned about how to share what we have. If we sit at the bottom of the comfort scale, I don't think we are to regard our situation as a permission to lie, cheat, and steal our way back up into comfort. But it's more than just a moral admonishment. I think this message claims God's care for everything equally. Everything that God has made and created, care and love of all creation, people, us, the lilies of the field, the ravens of the air, you name it. God has seen it all and created it all, and it all is beautiful and equally loved. I think we do have lots of evidence that God does not prevent disasters, even though sometimes I wish God would. Jesus, though, assures us that God is deeply concerned with the lives that God has created. In other words, we're not alone. No matter how bad things seem, no matter how good things seem, we didn't get there on our own. God's love pervades and prevails through all of creation, regardless of circumstance. There's a lot of crappy stuff and very difficult stuff happening in the world, and too many people live in difficult situations. It was true, I think, in Jesus' time as it is true today. But Jesus' teaching, in the face of all that is wrong in the world, is consistent and really pretty simply said when I break it down and think about it this way. Have faith and do something about the bad stuff that's going on around you. because all of creation is cared for equally by God. Life in the kingdom of God includes the poor, includes the merciful, includes those who mourn. Jesus said, "You will always have them with you." And life in the kingdom includes our privilege and our duty to bear light in the darkest places of the world. Perhaps once in a while we are to point to that light that never goes out. Today's gospel, taken outside of its context, sounds unrealistic to someone who's suffering. And in the larger context of this entire teaching, however, Jesus is reminding his followers of God's profound love for everything and everyone that God has created. And I think he's encouraging his followers then and today to focus on the kingdom of God, not on the stuff of this world. So in the congregational context, when we bring it down to the smaller scale of our lives together, I think it's really easy to justify in our own way worrying about the basics. And it's not just us. How many congregations around the world ask questions like, how are we going to pay our electric bill? Can we afford a full-time, or in our case, two full-time pastors, plus multiple other staff members to clean and do administrative work? Can we afford to fund the ministries that we want to fund? So many churches around the country, church councils and finance committees and members alike, feel a serious obligation to be sure that parishioners' money is carefully spent. Being good stewards of what we have been given is important work. But in light of Jesus' message today, it seems that an additional criteria for good stewardship should be in place. And the question has to be asked: how are we serving the kingdom of God? Are we worrying just about the stuff when really there's abundance all around us? There's absolutely no magical formula. I really wish there were. Say, do these 10 things for others and get an equivalent 10 things of blessings. Fail to do good things and you get nothing. Or do bad things and bad things will come to you. I wish it was that clear and direct. But that's not the economy of God. That's a limited human perception of virtue and value. So what Jesus proclaims to refugees in Europe, displaced persons in India, and comfortable Americans alike is that the kingdom of God is at hand here and now. Grace and mercy are available to all now. For those of us who already have much, it may be well that God's grace and mercy come through us on their way to those who are in the deepest of need. What an awesome responsibility to be that conduit, to share that light and love of God. What an amazing joy it is to be that person who will bring light for another, and the love of God for God's people and God's world, shared through you and through me. Thanks be to God. Amen.